Hello again, community of faith. This is Pastor Renee Antrosio, and I am honored to spend some time together focusing on Jesus. I'm reminded of the final words of the gospel according to John that Jesus said and did many other things that were not recorded, imagining that if they were all written down, the world itself wouldn't have enough room to contain those scrolls. The vignettes of Jesus' life and words that were written down give us insight into how he cared for those around him with the same love that he extends to us now. Jesus personified God's loving care for us that we might experience God's goodness in human form. Today's passage in Mark begins as the disciples return from their first trips out on their own. Jesus had sent them in pairs to teach and heal. They returned from their journeys to report to him everything they had done. It was an excited time in ministry when the movement was growing and people were flocking to Jesus looking for truth and healing. The problem, of course, in any growing work is that there are so many people coming and going and so much to be done that there was no time to even sit down for a meal together and rest. Jesus could see that the disciples were exhausted. And each of us has experienced that level of busyness that is exciting, full of good work and ministry, but sometimes before we realize it ourselves, we get depleted and aren't even able to take time to meet our own basic needs of having a family meal together or getting the nutrition we need. Some of you are feeling overwhelmed right now, with needs pressing in on you from every side, needs that seem too great for your energy and capability. To the disciples, to us, to me, to you, Jesus says, "Come by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while." God doesn't expect us to work nonstop, to always be serving the needs of others. There are times to go away by ourselves to a quiet place and rest. That was Jesus' idea. The apostles didn't suggest a getaway. Maybe they didn't even know they needed it, still riding high on the success of their ministry trips. Perhaps they were extroverts, fueled by being with people, getting their energy from the crowd, not realizing how depleted they were getting. Sometimes we need a friend to remind us, to suggest to us, that we should take some time for ourselves, get away and rest. Jesus is that friend. Reminds me of a childhood song. Jesus is the friend, he's the friend next to you. Jesus is a friend, so sing along. As my family prepares for our annual summer Seattle trip that we missed last year because of COVID, I start to feel how much I crave and need that time away, to go back to the mountains by ourselves. Not because we don't love our jobs, schools, homes, the everyday rhythms of our lives, but because we need a change of scenery, of pace, of crowd, to allow ourselves to rest, and then create the opportunity to return, refreshed, to appreciate the work we love. Even more difficult for us sometimes is to embrace time away for ourselves personally, separate from family vacations, which can take a lot of energy. What do you need to rest? Are there opportunities that Jesus might be offering to you, if you have the courage to accept them? I am occasionally reminded of the truth that tends to get lost in the shuffle, that Jesus cares about every aspect of our human lives, our physical well-being and sickness. Healing people was a major component of his ministry. our emotional and psychological health, casting out the demons that plagued people's spirits, attending to our relationships with others. Our hunger for knowledge. He was always teaching, working with the needs of our minds to seek understanding, the hunger of our bodies for food, the needs for shelter and clothing. Jesus was a practical person who perceived the needs of our whole selves and the need for us to be made whole, not just holy, but whole and healthy. Today, I encourage you to seek this Jesus, to open your ears to his words of rest, of care for your body and your mind. Jesus is not a slave driver. Remember that God first modeled rest in the creation of the world by refraining from work on the seventh day and exhorting us to do the same. Sometimes we Christians have been so eager to dismiss the rules of Sabbath that we have lost the Sabbath rest given to us as a gift for our healing and wholeness. Like children, we sometimes reject what is good for us, thinking we know better, and resisting the structures and discipline of rest in the name of freedom. Jesus said he came to fulfill the law, not abolish it. That the Sabbath rest was made for human beings, for us, because God knows that we all need rest, even from the best work of creating and ministering. So, the disciples get in a boat by themselves and leave for a deserted place. But then their need for rest bumps up against the crowd's needs, reminding us of Jeff Trask's teaching a couple weeks ago about managing our freedom. Sometimes our needs and others' needs collide, and meeting them both seems mutually exclusive. Maybe the time in the boat together was sufficient to restore the disciples enough. And at the end of this episode, Jesus makes his disciples get into a boat and go ahead of him while he dismisses the crowds. He repeatedly sends them away from the work, puts distance between them and the crowd so that they get some breathing room. Both Jesus and the disciples have compassion on the crowds. Jesus' compassion inspires him to get right back to teaching, even though this was supposed to be a getaway. And he is generous with his time, willing to sit and talk with them all day. They are like sheep without a shepherd, as we often are, lost and milling around, not knowing where to go or what to do. He taught until it was getting late, and I would love to know which scriptures he explained, what understanding he imparted. The disciples have compassion on the crowd too. They are worried that the people are getting hungry and need to go get dinner. Jesus is such an exciting teacher that folks don't want to miss anything or leave before class is over. And Jesus himself is so into it that he doesn't seem to realize that people need to eat, even though he is the one who noticed the disciples need to eat and advocated for their time off. Jesus' response is a strange one. You give them something to eat, an apparently impossible task. They do not have the resources to buy food for everyone. This feeling of being overwhelmed by the enormity of the problem or the need is familiar to most of us. In our reparations conversations, sometimes the more we learn, the more impossible it seemed for any of us to make a difference, either as individuals or as the Fellowship of New Covenant. One source cited that reparations need to make a significant difference in the economic standing of Black Americans. And on a large scale, that kind of impact can only be made by the federal government. Given the facts of American history, reparations from the United States government make sense. But what power do I have over those decisions? In the current political climate, the likelihood of even acknowledging the need for reparations, let alone assigning the financial resources to accomplish them, seems impossible. Like the disciples, I find myself tired and frustrated at the sheer enormity and impossibility of the task. I don't have the resources. New Covenant doesn't have the resources to accomplish reparations. Send the people away to get what they need elsewhere. We don't have the money to meet everyone's needs. But Jesus said to them, "How much bread do you have? Take a look. Focus on what you have. Assess your resources." The mismatch between what the disciples had and what the crowd needed did not concern Jesus. He wanted them to take a good look at what they possessed and then give that to him. Then came the organizing part. It wasn't a random free-for-all. Jesus directed the disciples to seat people as if for a feast. Not a soup kitchen line, but a sit-down banquet. Not chaos, but order, with counting and division and multiplication. God created math, too, after all the beauty of numbers and symmetry. How much do I have? What do we have when we stop to check? Is it more than we realized? Is it still an impossibly small amount? Is the quality better than we thought we could provide? Not just bread, but fish, too. When I looked at our finances this week, I realized that I could increase our tithes and that there are some special offerings I can make. I have enough bread to share, more than I knew. And when we look at New Covenant's finances, we also look for what we can give. Can we send a thank you gift to Bethel for hosting the multi-faith prayer service and to the Ministerial Alliance for organizing the 48 Hours of Peace? Yes. We have discretionary funds in our Mercy and Justice budget to do that. Can we give honorariums to amplify Black voices in our teachings and music, prioritizing our budget as we promised to do in our anti-racist pledge with Faith in Place? Yes. Can we invite other primarily white churches with whom we have connections to join this in this work? Yes. Does the money that we set aside for solar and may not need, will that be used somehow? We may only have 5 loaves and 2 fish, but Jesus wants us to give them to him to multiply. Will there be some organizing work ahead in order to distribute resources? Certainly. The challenge is to focus on what we have, not on what we don't, to trust Jesus, to multiply what we give him so that there is enough for all and some left over. Jesus didn't ask the disciples to go out and spend 8 months' salary to buy bread. He just asked them to take a good look at what was in their hands and then give it to him to work with. So that is what we will be doing too, looking at what we have, putting that in Jesus' hands, and then listening for his direction about how to organize and distribute what he gives us. When I began writing this teaching, I too was feeling rather tired and overwhelmed. But as so often happens, the Lord is speaking to you and to me. I am reminded that Jesus cares for all of my needs. For rest, for banquets on the grass, for time away, for learning, for giving, for receiving. Jesus wants good things for me, for you, for us as a fellowship, for the community of faith in Champaign-Urbana, for the church around the world, for the world. And as Arlene and Julian read from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, through Jesus, we Gentiles are included. We are all included. We who were far off are brought near. We are no longer divided, but are one body. And that is a truth we continue to be called to live into. And Jesus reminds me to look and see what I have. focus on the resources in our hands, not on the enormity or impossibility of the task. We have stuff that Jesus can work with. My compassion is not bigger than Jesus's. My understanding of possible solutions is limited to what I can see. But Jesus sees so much more when he looks to heaven to bless what we have. And he will direct us how to organize it so everyone gets enough and there is more left over. At the end of the day, Jesus puts the disciples back in the boat for some time alone away while he dismisses the crowds. He hasn't forgotten their needs, or mine, or yours, and he will come to us again, on the water, sometimes when we least expect him, or in a form we don't always recognize. But he says that he will never leave us or forsake us. Today, for communion, we are reminded to turn our eyes upon Jesus, to look full in his wonderful face. May the worship, the bread, the juice, and the Lord strengthen you and encourage you and uphold you. Amen.